This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2313. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 18th, Alaska, Belize, Brazil, Cuba, Ecuador, Equatorial Guinea, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Guam, Indonesia, Iran, Kaliningrad, Korea, Kurdistan, Mexico, Norway, Romania, Spain, Taiwan, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, our first news is about Alaska. It comes from Medium Wave Echo of the Arctic Radio Club about KCHU 770 in Valdez, Alaska, an uncommercial station. According to their website, on the 6th of August, KCHU makes a difficult decision to take down its AM tower before it's claimed by riverbank erosion. Urgent safety concerns. Over time, coastal erosion caused the guy wire anchors that stabilized our AM tower to shift. One anchor became submerged and was sinking, leading to a dangerous increase of tension. The tower developed permanent bends and began leaning precariously toward Port Valdez. With winter storms approaching, there was a serious risk that the tower could fall into the water. However, apparently they remain on the air because they have two full-service FM stations and four translators, covering an area the size of the state of Ohio, but with a population of just over 10,000, according to Wikipedia. At almost 1,500 miles away, a little too far for likely sporadic Eon FM, I'm always pleased to hear Belize in the form of the 10-meter beacon running 10 watts. It's on 28258 CW, with a call sign V31HQ/V. I heard it again September 16th at 2217. About Radio Voz Missionaria Brazil, varying upward little by little. On the 13th of September, it was reported at 11756.091 by Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal at 1826 UT. And then on the 15th of September, Rudolf Grimm in Brazil measured on 11748.41. But on September 18th, Paul Walker in Alaska says it's back on 11750. That's its sine frequency after months on 11755. But I assume his measurement is just approximate. We cannot depend on Radio Havana, Cuba, but they're making some appearances. At least they're trying. English in our evenings on 9710 and or 6,000 kilohertz. On September 16th, 9710 was still on the air as late as 0630. On the 17th, Ron Trotto in Illinois says 9710 had good signals at 148 parallel to 6,000, which was weak and distorted. But at 0230, 6,000 was off, but 9710 was still going strong. And checking for the English hour at 19 UT, sometimes there are signals and even modulation on 15140 and or 11760, such as September 15th and 18th. As for the domestic networks on shortwave, on 4765, Radio Progresso was heard at 01 UT on September 17th, and Radio Reveille was slightly stronger on 5025. Later that night at 0625, Rebelde Carrier was still on the air, but in dead air. Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba. As for QAnon, what about Radio Marti, one of the few surviving U.S. government shortwave services? It had been on the air weekdays only during the daytime. 13605, 11930, and 11860. However, on Friday evening, UT Saturday, the 13th of September, they stayed on the air into the evening and going into their previously used evening frequencies, such as at 0100, 6030, 7335, and 7365, as first reported by John Jurasek in Florida. Tony Pavick in BC was also hearing it and notes that it was a baseball game play-by-play, so of course that is of extreme importance in Cuba. Stephen Lewis in Texas says after 0300, 7365 was replaced by 7435. First time he'd noticed any nighttime operation in recent months. They were still on just before 0400, but all off by 0430. And no sign of any jamming. Besides the baseball, Tony Pavick was hearing just before sign-off at 0358 UT, in Spanish, of course, an editorial from the Voice of America, something that he doesn't think Radio Martí had been doing before. It was about human rights being violated in China. And the following Saturday and Sunday, 13th and 14th, it was again on the air in the daytime on those three frequencies, despite it being a weekend. Ecuador Nan, Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo, reports that the founder of HDJB's Japanese service has died in the USA, Mr. Kazuo Ozaki, at the age of 92 due to pneumonia on September 16th. HDJB was one of the most popular Japanese-language foreign radio stations in the 70s and 80s, and of course succeeded by reach beyond Australia, where he had been heard until his death. From Franz Wenzel, ADX via shortwave bulletin. Equatorial Guinea has temporarily suspended all amateur radio licenses. The government did that because of alleged irregularities in licensing process. Safety checks and technical specifications were allegedly not correctly adhered to. This derived from problems about a planned de-expedition to the island of Annobon by 3C0W, where its call sign would have been used. In Media Muy Veco of the Arctic Radio Club, news about the low-power Finnish station on longwave, Arctic 252. It was heard on the 6th of September at 0648, after switching on the transmitter with an ID, saying longwave radio has returned. This is Arctic 252. And then they started relaying laser 558. Via Jim Solati, Matt reports about the antenna. A 700-meter wire just 3 to 4 meters above ground, running up a hill. Transmitter would be on all day and through the night, but they did not expect any skyward reflection, ground wave only. Regular broadcasts are expected to start from Christmas onwards. In a reply from Matt at Arctic 252 in Inari, Finland, to Kjell Eriksson says, it was Arctic, a temporary antenna, very little power out of 700 watts escaping, probably only 25 watts. Things are that bad. Laser 558 is run by a friend of mine, so I was using it for testing. Once the proper antenna is up, there will be no problem hearing Arctic. Mike Cooper forwards a September 17th story by Paul Ricard at Barrons.com about France's public media clashing with private right-wing rivals. Public broadcasters accuse private right-wing outlets owned by billionaire Vincent Bolloré of carrying out a smear campaign against them. A conservative industrialist, Bolloré has emerged as a key player and is the financial backer of the influential cable channel CNews, seen as modeled on U.S.-based Fox News. Bolloré owns CNews as well as radio station Europe One and Sunday newspaper Journal du Dimanche, among a large portfolio of media assets. May not be related to that, but Mike Cooper reports that September 18th is another work stoppage day in France. Music heard in place of news in French on RFI, 21690, 21580, 21550, and 17690 at 12 UT, but apparently someone at TDF doesn't like music. All four frequencies went off early around 1250 instead of 1300. In the British DS Club, James Salmon, like the fish, tells us about Sonny Jim's Trance Journey, 60 minutes of alternative music, which he's already produced. Hopes to be on the air by October 1st, shortwave arrangements still being made. But I already listened to it online. It's via his website, sjtjradio.com. He says, I aim to produce programs monthly for the next 4 to 6 months, and will then see if there's enough interest to continue. Oh, I have filed this under Germany since he said he was looking at Channel 292 as a possible relay. Greece, the following doesn't concern shortwave, but with some help from EI, Zaharis Langis reports on ERT's strategic rebranding. In a significant shift in Greece's public broadcasting strategy, ERT2, one of the flagship channels of the Hellenic Broadcasting Corporation, is undergoing a major rebranding. The channel is set to be renamed ERT2 Sports and will transition into a dedicated sports network, part of a broader effort to revitalize ERT's content offerings and strengthen its competitive position in the evolving media landscape. This transformation aligns with ERT's broader restructuring efforts. ERT1 will focus on entertainment, series, and talk shows. ERT3, retaining its regional and cultural programming, and ERT News serves as the primary news channel. Another article with some details. ERT's historic Proto Programa first program is being rebranded as ERT News Radio, effective September 15th, a new era for Greece's oldest public radio channel. It will be broadcasting on FM 91.6 and 105.8. Via BCDX, Dr. Hans-Jürg Wiener has a detailed report about the upcoming close-down of KTWR in Guam. They say as valuable as the Guam station has been, we have faced many challenges in recent years, from the high cost of living on the island to unsustainable workload of the staff and constant strain on the equipment, aging transmitters becoming increasingly vulnerable to unforeseen catastrophic failures. We do not believe that raising funds to replace this expensive equipment would be a wise use of resources already needed in other areas. So we have decided to unanimously cease operations on Guam by October 31st. That's from TWR.org. They've already been moving a lot of their programming to other transmitter sites, such as via FEBC Manila and reach beyond Australia. And even Uzbekistan and Tajikistan are possible. In fact, I'm already hearing some TWR Asia broadcasts from Guam via Madagascar, such as 15440 at 1430 UT on September 14th, and on 17700 another Hindi broadcast. In fact, it was the strongest signal on the band from Guam via Madagascar, September 18th before 1430. Ron Howard is pleased to be hearing the two Indonesians on 41 meters direct at Asilomar State Beach, California, before sunrise, and at other times of the day via remotes in Indonesia. That is RRI Program 3 on 7205, the site not known. Tune in at 0610 on September 13th. On September 12th at 0307, they were playing an RRI song. September 11th was the 80th anniversary of RRI and Nation Radio Day in Indonesia, also heard from 0301. Also September 15th, from tune in at 0954 until tune out at 1024. On September 16th, from 1005, better reception at 1135. And the other one, RRI Nabire Program 1 on 7289.93. September 10th, from 755 to 1027. On the 12th, heard from 7:57 till cutoff at 08:55. September 15th from 08:27 till cutoff at 09:52. On the 16th from tune in at 08:30 until 10:04. Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran still has two English hours on shortwave, but in the British DS Club, Dave Kenny says they're very difficult to hear with such low modulation. Anyhow, September 17th at 15:23, it was only on 11710, and at 1920 on 11740. Via Franz Blaker, Shortwave Bulletin has reported on Tsingtao, USA from Hong Kong. A newsreader formerly employed by a subcontractor of NHK Radio Japan's Chinese service has been fined 11 mega yen for going off script August 19th last year, suggesting that the Senkaku Islands belong to China, and calling on listeners to remember Japanese war crimes. His off-the-cuff remarks led to one resignation and several cuts in salary among NHK directors. Via International Vacuum Internet, MF, HF, and VHF, World of Radio 2313, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for very generous financial support from Peter Robinson, Preston, UK, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Filed under Kaliningrad, where we believe it's located, that pirate, Russian pirate radio it calls itself, Music Wave Radio, about 3940. Gianni Serra in Roma, Italy, reports it on 3939.92 in Russian, September 13th at 1912 to 1945. It was good reception with loud audio, men talking and some chorus chanting, and another monitor had identified it as Radiostancia Atlantica, that was a old Soviet service, at 2040 and 2041, September 13th. And just before that, as Gabarit Vladivostok, according to Ray Lalu. Mike Cooper forwards a detailed AP story, September 15th. Kim Seong-min, a prominent North Korean defector who used radio broadcasts, USB sticks, and a network of sources in the secretive country to inform the North Korean public about the truth of their authoritarian government, has died. He was 63, after years of fighting lung cancer which spread to his liver. That's spelled S-E-O-N-G hyphen M-I-N. A former North Korean army captain arrived in South Korea in 1999 and began shortwave broadcasts to North Korea. In 2005, the first such South Korean civilian radio station run by a defector included news, everything from success stories of North Korean defectors and purported luxurious lifestyles of the North's ruling Kim family. NBCDX, another detailed article by Dr. Hans-Jürg Wiener about the Kurdo-Turkish radio war above 11.5 megahertz, the PKK versus Turkish jamming. After the PKK announced the end of its armed struggle against the Turkish state, there was a 2-week shutdown of the exile radio station and the Turkish jamming transmitter. But on the 31st of July, the cat-and-mouse game resumed. It was on the air. The fight was going between 04 and 16 UT. That is 12 hours a day. And Dr. Biener carried out some more attempts to monitor in September and found they were not always on the same frequency as before. Cat and mouse, including 11.530 and 11.510. And 11.540, the Kurdish station called Dengegel. There seems to be a detailed 15-minute newscast every hour on the hour. Mexico and non, on the beach in California, Ron Howard says on 6185, at 11.58 UT, two stations mixed together, that's CHBC in China and Radio Educación in Mexico, going off the air at 1200 UT after time pips from China. And then 2 minutes later, the Mexican national anthem, but not played every day, heard occasionally on September 8th. Normally they both end within a matter of seconds of each other at 1200. Norway non. If you stay tuned after hearing World of Radio via shortwave gold radio in Germany, Monday or Wednesday at 1930, at 20 UT, as occurs every day for 2 months, as planned, there is Night Air by Karin Werner from an art festival in Bergen, Norway. It sounds like lullabies. I've heard it a few times, and it seems to last only 10 or 12 minutes, but the rest of the time, nothing heard until half past the hour. Here's a sample recorded during their test broadcast on September 9th from Andy at Shortwave Gold.
Hello, hello, shortwave listeners. This is the redactor of Night Air for our test. Thank you for those listening. This is a test, and we will be doing lullabies for 60 nights starting Thursday the 11th at 22 Central European Time, 6160 kilohertz and 3975 kilohertz, sending on shortwave. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully you can go to sleep now. Thank you so much, Shersti Sunlan and Saeed.
I'm hearing Radio Romania International's English broadcast to Western Europe and hopefully onward to North America at 22 UT on 9740, such as on September 12th. However, Stephen Luce in Texas says, speaking of 9740, at 0300 UT, September 14th, the English broadcast showed up on 9500 instead of the usual 9740. Of course, at the same time, 2200 UT, there's an English broadcast from Spain. 17715 comes in very well here, even though it's supposedly aimed at South America. I wonder if they've slewed it a bit to favor North America a bit more, since the North American frequency has been missing for several weeks. 15500. Remember, that's only on Wednesday, English hour from Spain. Taiwan, Fuxing Broadcasting Station, is holding another QSL contest in September and October, and there has been some question about whether they are still on shortwave at all. Via Ron Howard, Alan Holder tells about his monitoring from the Isle of Wight. I monitored several times already this month using remotes in Japan between 7 and 11 UT. 9774 is very close to South Korea, 9770. 9410 is clear. BBC Philippines is off from 10 to 11. And 15375 sandwiched between CRI on both sides. Signal strength is very weak on all channels, and FHBS operation is irregular. One day at 10 UT, nothing heard on all three frequencies. But the shortwaves do carry a different network to that of the AM and online streaming. I tried to search Google Maps to locate the transmitter site. With only 10 kilowatts of power and low strength, I suspect the antennas are little more than dipoles, cut to each of the three frequencies, or possibly verticals, difficult to spot. Dan Robinson forwards a story from Axios.com, September 15th. Republicans plan a bill to consolidate government-funded broadcasters. Representative Young Kim of California was going to introduce a bill to consolidate them, overseen by the embattled U.S. Agency for Global Media, and give the State Department more control as a way to preserve their funding and continue their efforts to counter foreign disinformation. It aims to salvage decades-long efforts by government-funded broadcasters to provide news to countries with little or no access to independent reporting, while appeasing conservatives who think USAGM should be abolished. The bill aims to consolidate RFERL, Radio Free Asia, and Middle East broadcasting networks into one unified broadcaster receiving government funding through State Department contract. Oversight of VOA, Office of Cuba Broadcasting, would be transferred to the State Department's Office of Global Media within the Bureau of Global Public Affairs. Calls for all broadcasters to receive the same amount of funding as they are currently appropriated by Congress. The proposal would essentially kill USAGM and transfer more power and control over USG-funded broadcasters to the administration. Such an effort is likely to face legal scrutiny. Gary Drew tells me that World of Radio is now on his Laser Gold streaming station. It's at laserinternational.bravesites.com/laser-gold, all lowercase. The times are Saturdays and Sundays at 0630 UT and Wednesdays at 1300. Since WRMI is relaying WRN much of the time, we happen to have acquired some new shortwave broadcasts via RMI. I've confirmed these with help of some others. Saturday at 1930 UT on 9395. And Sunday at 1030 on 7730, 7780, 9495, and 9955. Also our Sunday night time on Shortwave Gold Radio Germany, 3975 and 6160, has changed from 2131 UT until 1831. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Andy Robbins says, a well-produced program, most creative and well worth a listen, is the Imaginary Stations show on WRMI 9395. It's UT Wednesday, such as 10 September, at 0200. On UT September 15th only, I was surprised to get a strong signal in the middle of the night on 17790 from TuneIn at 0417 until 0600. It's Radio Pan Am. Now, 17790 is a WRMI frequency, which has been in use only in the daytime for Radio Africa Network, which is part of Radio Pan Am. But it's not confirmed it's actually from the same site. WMLK in Pennsylvania was providing a double dose of DJOM, 17525, September 17th at 1754. That is two sermons at equal levels by deceased elder Jacob O. Meyer at the same time, as if he was trying to outshout himself. This lasted for at least an hour. More and more stories in the press are coming out about public radio and TV stations in the U.S., how they are coping with the rescission of federal funding. Via Kevin Redding, ABDX, from AL.com about WLRH in Huntsville, Alabama. It will be pivoting to a community-driven focus to fill the 32% of airtime formerly filled with NPR shows like Morning Edition, Fresh Air, and All Things Considered. Via Mike Cooper, The New York Times on September 13th, after Trump's cuts, crippled NPR and PBS stations must transform, with several examples such as in Kansas, South Dakota, and Oregon. John Filiozzi comments, instead of my federal tax money going to positive community-building efforts like public media, it's being diverted to community-destroying activities that separate families, hurt whole communities, and promote corruption and graft. I wish I could withhold it from the federal government and divert it to efforts in my state to ameliorate what these hate-filled people in Washington are doing. But the only way I could do that is to leave the country. From the Philadelphia Inquirer via Mike Cooper, the news devastated me. Pennsylvania's NPR station will be first in the U.S. to go dark following Trump's cuts. It's about WPSU at Penn State. Also, WQED, the PBS station in Pittsburgh, was forced to let go 35% of its staff as it prepares to absorb more costs stemming from the federal cuts. Dennis, K2DCD, says, Penn State Athletics reported a total revenues of approximately $221 megadollars, expenses of about $215. Beaver Stadium's renovation is $700 megadollars. So much for Penn State's focus on higher education. Supporting WPSU is chump change in the long run. John Filiozzi replies, so true, misplaced priorities. They could divert some support from the bloated football program, which, while profitable for the institution, has damn little to do with educating anybody. The propagation outlook from SWPC, issued September 15th. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 5. On September 29th, October 3rd and 6th and 11th. Lowest days of only 5 and 2, September 18th to 27th. October 1st, 2nd and 10th. Yes, that's thunder. I'm about to close down. Solar flux peaking at 135, September 19th to 22nd, and descending more or less to 110 by October 8th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2313 with a standard disclaimer.